I'd like to take a moment to just welcome one another from PE to Utneg, Utneg to PE, and everyone watching via live stream around the world. Will you please welcome one another to church? I trust that you had an amazing Black Friday deal thing. I don't know. How many of you ready to admit you got a deal on Black Friday? Just a quick show of hands, one or two of you, three. How many of you thought about it, planned it, but then the budget even wasn't? How many of you stood in a queue? I'm interested, just how many of you stood in a queue? How many of you are not going to put your hand up no matter what I ask? Okay, I thought so. Thank you. Thank you, Sean. Well, I know it's Spider-Man Monday? Yes. It's Cyber Monday. Am I right? And I hope you've gotten all the gifts you needed to buy or are hoping for. This is an interesting time of the year because we get to evaluate the quality of our relationships by the gifts we give and receive. How many, unfortunately, it's true. You know, I know people say it's the thought that counts, but I must be honest that the thought should be accompanied by a tangible expression like, no? I think the thought should include perhaps, even some food or... and I said all that to say that there are pancakes available in North End. That wasn't enough for me. Can I give it another go? There are pancakes available for you at Warehouse... That is Jeffrey's Bear. That's our youth ministry selling pancakes to be able to get best quality. Okay. Summer camp experience in January. Buy pancakes. Sign up your teens. If you're graduating from junior school, going into high school next year, or you just graduated from high school, going into sort of adult life, you can come. So that's like from 12 and a bit to 19, and I don't know what your high school situation is, but you can come, and it happens in January, and you can get details. And every pancake we sell, people are donating pancakes and caramel. And if you buy, you're supporting getting teenagers to camp. Amen. Gifts in our home. We used to work over the December period because I grew up in like a holiday town, a little place called St. Lucia in the north of KZN. And so my parents had a quick and convenient way of dealing with gifts. They would simply say, we own quite a lot of shops. They would say, go choose something for yourself. And then if we wanted it, so we would say, it's not that nice, let me tell you why. Then we would say, no, but we must find it under the Christmas tree. And then they would say, that's fine. You go choose something for yourself. You wrap it. You wrap it in the spa logo paper, you know, that paper, that. And you put it under the tree and you open it yourself. And now you're all feeling sad for me. It's like, oh, shame. That explains so many of his dysfunctions. But... So we came up with our own thing. We were like, okay, I'll buy you something, I'll wrap it, and then. And there was never any hiding of gifts. Like, no, there was no secret behind it. We'd have big conversations, we'd plan it, we'd do it. I don't know what it's like in your home, but I've heard from some people that this whole gift thing is like you've got to hint. The children must hint to the parents using Instagram photos. Hey, look how nice. What a cool thing this is. Oh, everybody is getting this. Well, there is a conversation I'd like to have about the greatest gift you will ever receive in your life and how that gift is truly the gift that keeps on giving. We're starting a series tonight entitled Unboxed. How to unpack the full gift of what the Bible says is a gift given freely from God to you that changes your life. Some gifts change your life for a short season. Some gifts change your life for a little longer. When you get married, you get the gift of a ring that changes your life for the rest of your life. Amen. And guys, can I just say, when you finally decide to make that, you know, she will always say to you that the ring, it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't matter. She will say that with her words, but she will not believe that in her heart. And if you believe her words and are not clever enough to push through the words and find her heart, you're going to suffer for the rest of your life. At every dinner party, she's going to say, this is what he gave me. This washer from Plumlink is... So I just want you to know, gifts say things. They say something about the giver and they say something about the receiver. They denote the quality of the relationship. You know, people often say, well, wedding ring's quite expensive, you know. It should be. You shouldn't be giving too many of those out in life. I think you should be giving one if where possible. So it should be really expensive. It shouldn't be sort of, you know, off the builder's warehouse shelf where you can get more. Some people are like, oh no, that was my plan. I was going to make it cool though by engraving on it. No, there must be a diamond on it to make it cool. And all the women said, yeah, I thought so. All the men are going to have long conversations with me afterwards. Just because you've made a decision not to marry doesn't mean you have to make it expensive for the rest of us. Well, I wanted to talk to you about this gift that God gives, this gift of salvation. And over the next couple of weeks, all the way up to Christmas Day, we're going to unpack it. We're going to figure out features of our faith. By the time we're done in this conversation, and if you're still in town, if you're not, watch on live stream, you're going to be able to say, I am truly one of the most gifted people on the earth. And that's not in order to be boastful, but any person or place that carries the Spirit of Christ Jesus in their hearts is a gifted place. Because Jesus is capable. And in his capability, he gives and deposits and transforms our lives. You are not an empty vessel waiting to receive something. You are gifted by Christ waiting to unpack it. And the amazing thing is that we quickly define ourselves. You know, I joke about this often. We do personality tests. We do evaluations. We do assessments. They're all cool. Recently, there was another one based on colors. And people came to me and said, you're an orange. Am I? I don't know what an orange is, but it isn't. I don't know. It sounds a bit aggressive. But apparently I'm an orange. So I don't know. In the light of an orange world with Donald Trump, I don't know if I want to be that. But let me tell you, and then one personality test says you're an A type, and another personality test says you've got no skill in mercy or no skill in rest. You're aggressive. You're task oriented. Every one of those things are true on that day. But let me tell you what no test can take into account, and that is how much you will outgrow where you are and develop into what God is still going to take you. There are people in the room here, you can't handle something today, but in a few years' time, it'll come natural to you. Don't define what's natural to you to just one or two things. You'll find what's natural to you at another level when God takes you from glory to glory. One of the greatest qualities of being gifted by the gifts of heaven is that you don't stay static and you never stay the same. Not only that, you develop from improvements rather than deterioration. There's a weird culture in life that suggests that you peak at a certain age and everything else is downhill from there. That might be so only for your body, but let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says your soul goes from glory to glory and your spirit is renewed every day. Amen. But discovering that and unpacking it seems to be challenging these days. And I wanted to take you, production, if you'd be patient with me, I want to go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 from the Message translation. And I want to talk to you about how to discover the gift of life, what that looks like. Now, life isn't just having a heartbeat, right? Having a heartbeat just keeps you going. Life is a different thing. Life is what God says you will have in all its fullness when you're a follower of Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? What does having life mean? It means uniquely that you will discover who you're supposed to be and enjoy it. Now, some people discover who they're supposed to be and don't enjoy it. They don't enjoy it. They wish they were someone else. Now, I understand. I mean, I wish I was taller. You know? I wish I was just a little bit taller. I mean, not so tall that it's a problem. Some of you are, it's extreme. Unnecessary, you know, you got to duck at doors. Why? I don't want to be so short that reaching handles. We all have, you know, we all have a bit of a, you know, I don't want to look pregnant. What? Did I just say that out loud? No, someone said to me the other day, you look pregnant. I don't, you know, we all have certain... One day I said to a friend, I was doing some stuff in my house, and they said, why don't you try this, put this kind of a thing in your home? And I said, oh no, that looks very Greek. And they said, you are Greek. You're allowed to have something in your house that's Greek. And I thought about that for a while, and I thought, they're quite right. I can have something. I am literally the one person in this room who should gladly have something Greek in the house, because I am Greek. Now, when the rest of you put one in there, you know, it could be awesome or awkward, but I should be okay with that, because it's a bit of who I am. You should have no trouble having a Bible sitting on a desk somewhere in your house. You shouldn't have to pack it away, and you shouldn't feel uncomfortable when someone comes to visit who doesn't believe in it. And when you do a prayer, if that's the way you do dinner at night, you pray with whoever's in the room. I don't care if they're an atheist or not. You know why? It's who you are. Enjoy being who you are. If anyone else is uncomfortable with who you are, they can have dinner somewhere else. And pick yourself up at McDonald's on the way home. They don't ask you to do grace. They just ask you for your PIN. You know, there comes a time where you just enjoy, you know who you are, and you enjoy who God designed you to be. There's something about that. But there are a couple of obstacles along the way. One of them, particularly in our charismatic-y, happy-clappy Christian churches, is that we try to make everybody the same, rather than let each person be unpacked and developed the way God designed them. And then, because we try to make everyone the same, we judge one another for not being the same. And that's unfortunate. Look at the scripture in Ephesians 4:7 from the Message. It says, but that doesn't mean you should all look and speak and act the same. Out of the generosity of Christ, this is how big Christ is. Each of us is given his own gift. The text for this is, he climbed the high mountain, he captured the enemy, he seized the booty, he handed it all out in gifts to the people. It is not true that, is it not true that the one who climbed up also climbed down to the valley of the earth, and the one who climbed down is the one who climbed back up to the highest heaven? You know, that might sound like a lot of unnecessary words, but let me tell you what he's saying. Jesus went to the heavens and gave gifts there. Then he went to the deepest valley where you are at your worst, and he found you and gave you gifts there. And the one who climbed to the top was not uncomfortable to climb to the bottom. And he gave the person at the top and the person at the bottom the same thing, gifts. That's why it's so wordy. It's wordy in its poetry, because it's saying it really doesn't matter where you're at. The one thing God wants to do is gift you with the opportunity to enjoy life and life in all its fullness. And that's done by being mindful that Jesus Christ has a unique plan for your life, and you don't have to look the same as anybody else. You don't have to act the same. You don't have to speak the same. Look, you do need to speak grown up, I think. Right? I mean, there's no gift of immaturity in the Bible. Can we just say amen? You know, I don't think we should ever say, well, I'm just gifted this way. I'm annoying as a gift. There's no gift of criticism or gift of gossip. If you carry any of those gifts, you got them from the wrong person in the Bible. Hashtag the devil made me do it. So I want you to know that it's not that kind of thing. But gifted means uniquely designed and enjoying who God called you to be. Not only that, I want to encourage you that this idea of unpacking the unique gifts is first and foremost discovered by getting to know Jesus better, not getting to know anything else better. It's wonderful to get to know lots of things in life. Find out about stuff. Learn what they're like. Find out about pastors. Follow them on Instagram. Listen to sermons and messages. It's awesome. But never let that exchange what is true wisdom. True wisdom comes from above, the Bible says, because it is pure and untainted. The book of James says that's true wisdom. Do you know that no human being can give you true wisdom? They can only give you their version of true wisdom. But if you want true wisdom, you got to go above. You got to go over the pastor's heads. See, I'll give you as much wisdom as I can, but it's going to come out of a Greek mouth, which I think is wonderful. What a blessing. You know, somebody said to me, what's Greek food? You know the joke by now. What food is Greek food? I tell them the same answer every time. Any food I eat is Greek food. It's food for Greeks. Wisdom comes through people tainted, but wisdom comes through Jesus pure. Not only that, the Bible says it is wisdom that is peaceable. When you follow the wisdom of God, you live in permanent peace. You're not striving, you're not fighting, you're not angry, you're not discouraged, you're not disappointed. People's comments don't rattle you, you don't keep stalking people on Facebook to see where you fit in society. Come on, you know what I mean. You all have a fear that there is an app out there that will tell people how long you stayed on their page. I reckon if we could make an app like that, we would make money. The following five people were your stalkers this week. Oh, I'd pay good money for an app like that, I'd swear. Some of you right now are cringing because you're guilty as ever. I want to encourage you that being defined in such a gifting is an important thing, because I don't want you to go through life thinking that God is looking to give you judgment when God is looking to give you life. God's judging is already done. He did it at the cross of Jesus Christ. Ever since then, all he's giving is the gift of life. Are you living it with that kind of celebration? If you're not, then all you need to do is connect with Jesus in a significant way and let him take you through the process. It doesn't take a lot before you discover that what used to hurt you doesn't bother you anymore. What used to scare you is no longer intimidating, and what you thought was out of reach is actually quite available to you. For he makes all things possible. You see, what seemed impossible for me, man alone, becomes possible when I'm in Christ Jesus. You can evaluate me through an IQ test or a personality test, but what you can't evaluate in me is the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. There's no test for that. There's no test that says the Spirit of God is working in you and has given gifts, resources, opportunities, and new life. There's no test for that. Be assured, though, you go through tests, because tests make you better. I couldn't preach that last month because no student wanted to hear that tests make you better. But truthfully, every test, every struggle, and every fight simply unpacks. From now on, I want you to think of every trial, every test, and every temptation as you removing one more wrapper of obstacle from another part of your gift. When you tear the devil out of your life, you're tearing open another layer of the gift of life that Jesus Christ has given you. Every time the devil presents himself, don't think he's the problem. He's just the interruption to the promise. When he presents himself, you tear him like a gift wrap out of the way, and you go in the box and you take the thing out the box that the devil was trying to hide from you. That's all you do. Every time I see an enemy now, I think, oh, this is going to be such a nice gift wrap. I can't wait to pull the enemy apart so I can find what's waiting in the box next. And you know, the amazing thing about Jesus Christ is no box is a booby trap, no box is a joke, no box is a disappointment. You never have buyer's remorse and you never have regret. You know, like that thing you bought from Alibaba or Wish that is bigger than the picture or smaller than the picture. I know a few friends have fallen into that trap. I bought a few things. I think some of them are great, but some of them, I have a friend, I'll try not to mention any names here tonight. I have a friend who bought a drone from an app, and it was actually a toy. It was a toy replica of a drone. Best $3 they ever paid. They thought, this drone's going to fly. It was an exact replica, just a mini version. Oh, the point of that story is watch out in life. Life doesn't come at a discount. If you pay $3 for something, you'll get a replica of life, but not the real deal. You don't get a discount at life. You say to yourself, I'll pay whatever the price is because Jesus already paid the price. I want the real thing. I don't want the imitation thing or the mini model of it. I want life and life in all its fullness. Can you say amen to that? Yutnag, I hope you're good out there also. So a couple of things I want to give to you as thoughts and considerations on living a gifted life and this gift of Christ in our lives. I want to give you three ideas on that. And over the month of December, we'll keep unpacking the wrapper around the gift of life God has given. I want you to remember that gift of life is given to us through a person, not a place or a feeling, but a person, Jesus Christ. When you come to Jesus, you walk away with gift. That's how it is. It's backwards in many ways. We should go to a king and give him gifts, but because he knows his is a heavenly realm, he comes to our lives and gives us gifts. What a privilege. You're going to be a gift, live a gifted life. I want you to consider a couple of things. First of all, that the gift from God of life is immediately and initially complete. You're not missing any parts of the gift. Have you ever bought something and then when you got home realized you just needed to buy one or two other things to make it work? I've had those moments. Have you ever bought, see, I used to be that guy who just bought it and then quietly went to the counter and paid. As I get a little bit grayer, I get like, I want, open the box. I want to see what's in the, I never used to do that. I was too shy, you know. I didn't want to, sorry, can you just open? I want to see what plug this thing is. Because I'm going to go home and find out it's a Japanese modified UK plug. And I've got to, this thing was on sale for 200 Rand. Now the plug is 600 Rand to make this thing work. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And one day when I'm president, we're not going to have all these many plugs. It's going to be one type of plug and one type of light bulb. This thing of bayonet and screw in, it's not working for me. That was a joke, okay? Not the being a president part, just the plugs. But here's the thing. You open it up. Oh, you get home and you discover battery's not included. Oh, and you know, you can be sure that in your man drawer, you know, there's a man drawer in every house. Yeah. Wherever, just very simply, let me just explain to you for humor's sake, you're telling, there's a man drawer in every house. Married people will especially know this. Your wife owns the rest of the house. When she's unpacked and organized everything, you settle on one drawer. And you say to your wife, are you going to use this drawer? Can I please have this drawer? And she says, what do you want to do with it? And you go, I need somewhere to store man things. And she'll go, you can have this drawer. Let me tell you what's in the drawer. Keys to places you no longer know. You've got an assortment of keys in there. Am I right? Am I right? You've got keys to garages you used to stay in and keys to locks you're not even sure. I mean, there is a variety of keys there. You've got everything. Somewhere in your mind, you thought, I've got to keep this key. So you've kept the key. It's there. You've got batteries in there, not just new batteries. Batteries you took out of old things, but you thought to yourself, what if I need just that much battery? So you put it, how many of you know what I'm talking about? It's a mess of keys and batteries. It's somewhere in the kitchen. Usually somewhere in the kitchen, this man drawer. And then you've got a few other items that you've accumulated over time, leftover insulation tape and duct tape, you know, for a future project. You've got varieties of screws in there, leftover packets of screws, 2-3 of this type and 2-3 of that type. They cling around there together. You've got light bulbs. Not only light bulbs that are working, but light bulbs that aren't working. You put them there because you've got to remember that you've got to get that kind of light bulb. You've got to get it one day. One day, you've moved house already and you've taken that blown light light bulb with. You no longer have, you now have downlights, but you've got bulbs from the previous house because you say to yourself, one day I'm going to get a bulb. I need that bulb and I'm going to. So you've got a man drawer. You've got to scratch around in the man drawer to find a battery to get the thing going. That's how a lot of people pretend church is like. That Jesus gave you life, but not with all the parts included. You've got to come to church. You've got to scratch around in this place called church, and somewhere God will give you the juice you need. God will give you the plug you need. God will give you the battery you need. Let me tell you, that is not true. On the day you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you receive life and life in all its fullness. You got it with battery included. All you got to learn to do is how to switch it on and play the game of life. There's no joking around in God's company in that regard. It is absolutely a complete gift. You might think, well, I'm a sinner. I've got problems. I've got things going. Maybe God gave me just a little taste of faith and then he'll give me the rest later. No, he didn't do that. He didn't give you a little taste of it. He gave you the whole. Jesus didn't die on the cross in little bits and pieces. All of Christ went to the cross so that all of you can be born again. I don't care what your situation is right now or your issue is or your background is or your story is. You can have life and life in all its fullness running concurrent with issues in your life. And one day the one will just take over the other. This idea that they don't run concurrent, they run parallel, that the one must be finished before the other. Nonsense. God will start life and life in all its fullness on day one. You can be fighting depression. You can be fighting financial ruin. You can be fighting insecurity. Whatever your fight is, I want you to know that life can start at the same time. And the one will overtake the other. Not only is the gift complete, the Bible will tell us that the gift of God, new life, is competent. Whatever you're fighting, struggling, wishing, or dreaming, God's gift of life is competent to resolve it and restore it. Whatever it is. If your mind is messed up in some way, for whatever reason, the gift of life will fix it. He'll reboot it like that. You've been caught in a trap. You've got an addiction. You got involved in, you know, innocent crime. I don't know what that is. You got hooked on powdery stuff or liquidy stuff, or you have an addiction to pornography, or I mean, whatever it is. It got real now, hey? Whatever it is, I want you to know that the gift of God is competent in that situation to completely and fully resolve it. Totally competent. When people say to me, you know, but there are some things that are lifetime burdens. Let me tell you the only thing you carry on your life for the rest of your life. You carry the marks of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in your life. That's the only permanent thing in your life. That he died on a cross so you can be set free. You can be a recovering alcoholic or a recovering drug addict or a recovering anything. That's fine. But I want you to know that doesn't stop you from living life and life in all its fullness. You've done nothing in the past that the gift is incompetent to handle for your future. Because he's competent. And finally, the Bible tells us that God's gifts cascade down from heaven. They keep coming in different seasons and at different times. Look at what James 1:16 from the Message says. So my dear friends, don't get thrown off course. Every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. There is nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced in God, nothing fickle. He brought us to life using the true word, showing us off as the crown of all his creation. It's a remarkable thing when you recognize that gifts come from heaven. I started this day off, this is service 3 and together with Utnagged service 5. I started this day off like this and I want to end it like this to say, every blessing in life that you could possibly desire is located in heaven. And if you will keep the channel of communication, of receiving and giving open from heaven to earth, every gift will just keep falling over into your life. You know, is that a clappable moment? Thank you for doing that. Let me tell you why this is such a vital thing. We've developed a culture of begging God to bless us. He doesn't need begging. He just needs your positioning. There is a waterfall of cascading gifts. If you're standing in the wrong place, get under the waterfall. Get under it. I feel like there's some song about a waterfall that's coming to my mind now. Oh, it's a terrible song. Don't go chasing waterfalls. The devil is a liar. I don't know how my brain made that connection, but I'm going to go home and I'm going to pray. I'm going to put Christian music on Kanye West and I'm going to pray. I closed on Sunday. You're my Chick-fil-A. I'm going to pray. Take your whole family, hold hands and pray. Me and my two dogs. And I'm going to get that evil song out of my mind. So don't beg. God isn't going to reposition the fountain. He just wants you to position yourself into the river of life. And so I want to encourage you to recognize that if everything you desire in life is located in heaven, get that connection right. Everything you desire in life is not located in another person. That's unreasonable expectation. Everything you desire in life is not located in money. That's the root of all evil. Everything you desire in life is not located in your look or your image. That'll fade. Except for the ladies, it will stay permanent. And all the women said, you weren't even convinced. I mean, I tried. All your blessings are located in heaven. If that is so, then that is your greatest connection. So tonight, I'd like to start a journey or a conversation. Did Jesus call someone in the second row there? I feel like Jesus phoned Nick or someone there. I'm not sure. I want to end tonight and launch into this unboxed series for the rest of the month in the following way. I want to invite you every Sunday to either make a commitment yourself or invite family and friends to do so. And we're going to give one another the gift of life through Jesus Christ. And then I'm going to encourage you to shake off every restraint that makes you live like somebody else and ask you to start living like yourself, the one that Jesus created and has in mind for you. Start enjoying the journey. Live life in all its fullness. Receive the gift and start living gifted lives. And if you do that, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Every desire you have will find you. See, here's the simplicity of the gospel. You find Jesus and life finds you. But if you look for life and don't look for Jesus, you will always be disappointed with what you get at the end of your search. That's the distinction. This then is how we ought to live, gifted. I'm going to invite you to stand quick here in PE and also in Utenag. Pastor Chris is there and he's going to journey this with me for a minute. I'm going to let him navigate. Pastor Chris, will you navigate the Utenag conversation for a bit so I can take a minute or two here? And I'd love to pray with all of us to make that switch. It's a vitally important moment of transition. It goes from being in church to being in Christ. That's a bold other thing. And it is a whole other thing because it fills you with a competent gift that transforms you. So that's what I'd like to do. We got a minute or two and thank you so much. We have a minute or two and I want to invite you to navigate this conversation every week. We're going to do this through the month of December and we're going to end it on Christmas Day. Here's what I'm praying for. Your family, your friends, your daughters, your parents, your grandkids, your neighbors will all be born again as you invite them into this conversation of life and life in all its fullness. Can you say amen to that? This is too good to keep and it's too fulfilling not to give away. So if you take a moment to close your eyes, and just to create an environment of safety and confidentiality and personal journey, I really want to, I bravely, you know, we talk honestly here. That's our conversations. I really want to ask you, whether you're acting who God wants you to be, or you're just acting out the way somebody else has told you to. I want to ask you whether you feel like you're yourself. Not selfishly, but the self in Jesus self. The person you didn't think you could be, but now because of this competent gift of life, because of this complete gift of life, because of God's constant cascading flow of life, you're different and you love it. If those two things aren't true for you, I want to pray for you. You don't feel different and you're not loving it. I want to pray for that. And I'm going to invite you to simply stick your hand up long enough for me to see it and acknowledge it, and then we'll do a prayer. If that's the space you're in, you need to get out of a rut that's just living and get into a routine of living life. I want to pray with you. Would you just stick your hand up long enough for me to see it? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, but both on my right and left, I can see clearly right the way to the back and in this middle section, right down to the staircase over there and right at the top over there. I really appreciate it. We've kept our service time pretty tight, and that's because this moment is really holy. For some of you, you're putting your hand up because you're off course and need to be back on course. And for others of you, you're putting your hand up or your heart's beating really fast with expectation, because it's not just a course correction. It's like a reboot. It's like a do-over. You can't carry on another year, another month, another day of just treading water. You need to activate yourself into the space of living life and life in all its fullness. Well, that answer is found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I would love to pray with you if you're journeying in the space from unfulfilled to fulfilled because of Jesus. And I'm going to ask you to do a really brave thing. You'll be the first of many doing this over the month, but I'm going to ask you to be courageous enough. You can come on your own, or you can bring your friend, your whole row if you want to, your spouse, your neighbor. But I'm going to ask you to slip out from where you are and make your way to the front. My goal is we're going to pray a prayer over one another. And that's it. No counseling, no asking you for your deep, dark secrets or any sins. All I want to know is that you're reaching your hand out to the one who's already reached his nail-scarred hands out to you. If that's where you're at, would you just take a few steps out from where you are and make your way to the front right now? Let's do a prayer together and we'll wait on you. Church, would you please encourage people as they take a brave step? I'd like the prayer team to come on out here and stand. And I'm feeling no. Oh, the okay. I'll wait for you to come out for a moment or two. I'm comfortable for you to take a few steps. I'll wait for you at the back. It'll take a minute or two. We'll be done in 3 minutes, 2 minutes. But I want you to feel the bravery and confidence in your heart. Come on really close. Come on out from the back then. Come on out. Those of you who stuck your hands up over there and there, no judgment. Just slip out from where you are and make your way to the front. Let's do a prayer together. Come on real close to the stage, everybody, because it's the easiest way to do it. There you go. There you go. Three of the tallest people in church. I'm so glad I didn't insult you so much that I'm so glad I didn't. Will you slip on out from where you are and make your way up to the front? I want you to live life and life in all its fullness. I'm grateful to walk this walk with you. And I want somebody on a prayer team to be holding, reaching out a hand and touching your shoulders, your wherever, and we're going to pray a prayer together. Church, I would invite you to pray it with me. I think it'd be great to pray in support. But we're going to pray a prayer out loud, and then I'm going to be able to send you to the best coffee shop in town, right there, Red Band in Seattle. But I want to pray a prayer together. Would you please follow after me these words as we ask God to unpack the gift of life? Whole church, Lord Jesus, thank you that you are a gift freely given by grace into my life. I acknowledge today that I no longer need to live disappointed, disheartened, or disconnected. I welcome the complete and competent gift of life given to me from heaven. I do this by accepting. I can't live on my own. I need a Lord and Savior to guide me. Holy Spirit, please fill me and lead me in Jesus' name. And everybody said, would you give God a shout of praise and worship? Fill me and lead me.